I'd like to start out my lesson by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. God had great plans for Israel. He called him out of Egypt, out of world of idolatry, for several reasons. He wanted to bring mankind back to the one true God. The majority of mankind had lost their way, had gone after idols, and I'm convinced that's one of the reasons why God called Israel out of Egypt, was to bring man back to the one true God. He wanted to make Israel his special people. He wanted to bring the world a gospel and a savior. Israel had the opportunity to have heaven on earth, to be a special people, a holy priesthood, a holy nation. God promised them to take care of them. He would provide their every need. All they had to do was obey him. Now, there were times in Israel's history when they were a glimmer of what God had in mind, when they were under such godly men as David and Hezekiah and Josiah. But these men proved to be imperfect men, as we all are. Another reason why an earthly kingdom is fallible, because their leaders are fallible. But Israel's history was an overall story of spiritual adultery, especially under leaders like Saul and Jeroboam and Ahab. From Israel's beginnings, they seemed to constantly betray their God through their constant disobedience and spiritual harlotry, going after all the other gods of the Canaanites. They never seemed to come up to God's expectations. Now, with all this said, God knew they would stumble and ultimately fall. But finally, they did fulfill their purpose. They brought forth the Christ who was born, who lived and died and was resurrected, which led to the gospel and the church. And this is what has allowed God to call out truly his own special people from all races, from all cultures, from all nationalities. In this lesson, I want to talk about God's chosen people. You know, God has always wanted a special people. He made creation for this purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 4, 1 and 4, he planned that we might be in Christ even before he created the foundations of the earth. It was God's will from the beginning to establish a better kingdom, a special people, one that God would choose, one that would choose him as well. A spiritual kingdom based on righteousness, based on the perfect Son of God. Christ's spiritual kingdom of the church was not an afterthought. Now, as you go back and look at creation, the first 6.5 days, God said it was good. And then he made man, and then he said it was very good. And I'm convinced, certainly part of the mind of God there, it was very good because it was going to accomplish his purpose. God was going to have a special people, a holy nation, a holy priesthood. Number one, that God would be glorified. But number two, that his people, his chosen people, would be saved. That God would eventually choose this special people out of the world. And God has been seeking souls ever since creation. He fashioned us so that we might grope for him and find him. He wants worshipers. Perhaps you could say his search began with Adam and Eve. There's no indication at all that Adam and Eve were ever considered righteous, although Adam was a type of Christ as the first Adam. And maybe by that type he may have been. But the first one the Bible calls righteous was Abel. And Abel was one who heeded the call of his creator, who gave unto God what God wanted. God wanted sacrifices, and he gave to God that based on faith. Cain refused the message of being a people of God. You could say shortly after the fall of man, God's search became much more complicated. Perhaps a smaller and smaller percentage of man was willing to accept the call from their creator. At the flood, there were only 8 righteous souls who listened to the call from their Creator. Certainly, by the time of Abraham again, there were probably many others scattered throughout the world. And his search continues and will continue to the end of time, calling for his special people. You know, mankind has been purposefully fashioned to be the people of God. We're fashioned. We're created as individuals with purpose. God fashioned man with his spirit. And this is what separated man from the rest of creation. God made us purposefully separate from the animals. He fashioned man with a heart capable of receiving his seed. He fashioned the gospel to specifically appeal to those individuals with soft hearts. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it has also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. God fashioned the gospel purposefully to bring forth fruit, to call out to those souls with soft hearts. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you are a chosen generation. Here he's talking to Christians. He's not just talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to Christians, Jews and Gentiles alike. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are fashioned as a church to be the people of God. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, was formed for this purpose. The church of Christ was purchased for this purpose. We're not created for unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is the aberration. The word aberration means a deviation from a right or natural course. Giving into our flesh is not what we're made for. This explains to me, at least partially, why we are harmed by sin. Because we're not created to sin. Although I'm not even sure God could create a body that could not be harmed by sin. We are created for righteousness. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. We are created to serve our Creator. And this is why righteousness has such a good and profound effect on our bodies. We are created to be the chosen people of God. Now, God has called His minority out of the majority. Jehovah called Israel out of the world to be His special people. Israel was to be holy and separate, but ultimately they failed because they didn't want to be holy and separate. They wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted a king like all the other nations. They wanted a god like all the other nations, a physical piece of stone or wood, or worshiping the stars or the earth. And so they blended in, and so they lost that unique ability to be separate. God has called us His church out of this same world. His church is to be separate from the world. But too often we want to be like all the other nations. We want to look like the other churches. We want to act like the other churches. But when we do that, we lose our identity, because that was never God's intent. When we blend in like everybody else, we lose the identity that the Lord has in mind for us. We lose our special calling. And throughout the history of the churches of Christ, there appear to be times when churches were falling into apostasy, and many of them are again today, following after the ways of man. Some are not even calling themselves a church of Christ. Why? Are they ashamed of it? They want to be like everybody else. But we need to be reminded that always, only a minority heeds God's call. This is a spiritual principle that has always prevailed. The majority of mankind seems to always choose the path of the flesh rather than the spirit. The majority of mankind seems to always have chosen the path of death rather than life. The majority of mankind seems to always choose against the purpose of their creation. And so the vast majority prefer to remain in the world. What percentage was it of Israel was faithful throughout their history? Again, at times they appeared to be doing what was right, but for the most part, only a remnant were faithful to God. You see, the majority remains in the world. And not because the message is preached by imperfect vessels, which we are. That's not why we are a minority. And it's not because the message is unfair. Because when we say, well, we're so small because we're not preaching it right, the message, the power is not in the way we preach it. The power is in the gospel of Christ. We denigrate God's work when we say that. Because the world prefers the way of the flesh. Therefore, it's not good for us to give excuses for the world's behavior, to chastise ourselves for our own imperfections, to say that few accept the call because we're not doing it right? No. Few accept the call because that's the nature of man, to refuse the gospel of Christ. Because let's be honest. There are some aspects about the gospel that are not very comfortable. They're not very joyous. Do you like to be reminded of your sin? I understand there are churches that don't teach about sin. Do you like to be reminded of your own failures? No, but we need to be. Always, many are called, but few are chosen. It certainly is still God's will that all be saved. But the reality is few will always heed the call to be God's special people. Therefore, we should not be discouraged when we look at ourselves and wonder, why are we so small? Why are we such a small percentage? You know, it's often bothered me in the past. Even among the churches that I work with, the brethren who edify themselves, who don't hire men, why we're such a minority, even among churches of Christ. But I think I understand it better. Even in Revelation, God's people was always a remnant of what appeared to be God's people. So it shouldn't bother us at all. You see, God has worked all things toward this end. Paul referred to God's plan through the ages as a mystery that finally was revealed through Christ's apostles by the Holy Spirit. Now, Adam and Eve certainly didn't understand what God's plan was when God promised hope there in Genesis 3 and 15. Surely the prophets like David and Isaiah and Jeremiah, they didn't understand what they were prophesying. Even the apostles during the time of Jesus were dull of hearing and understanding. Explain to us what you mean, Jesus. It was indeed a mystery until it was revealed. But we can see, we have the benefit of seeing his entire plan unfolded throughout the Old and New Testament scriptures. And his goal from the beginning was to have a chosen people from the entire world. And God didn't call out Abraham just to save a mere few. God didn't call out Jesus just to save physical Israel. And as we study through this plan, we keep in mind the ultimate goal of God's plan. The insight helps us better understand both God and what he had in mind. This insight helps us better understand why God desires to work in our lives. Not because he's some control freak like men are. God doesn't seek after power. He has all power and authority. God only desires what is best for us. So when God said it was very good, I'm convinced that at least was part of what was on his mind. It was very good to provide what we would need. The Word of God is the story of a Creator that planned and fashioned a call for His chosen people. And it's important we read that with that context in mind. And as we read and study through these divine pages, we read of hope and help. It tells of the Lord actually working His plan from Abraham on. The Word of God is the story of God's plan in written form. In the beginning, a law for His people, a law that would teach mankind of our helplessness and hopelessness regarding our own sin. We read of the promised Redeemer, the plan of God, the Christ who would die. It tells of the coming of this man and the life that he lived and the life that he died for us. It tells of the church and its beginning and its establishment. It talks about the doctrine that we are to follow, as it's called the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of the apostles. The doctrine that His people, His chosen people, must teach and follow. We are the ecclesia of God. We are the called out of God. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my called out, that's exactly what He was talking about. Now both chosen and called out implies God's choosing. God chooses us by the calling of the gospel. God chooses us by the preaching of His church. But yet we must receive this call. In order to be the minority, we must absolutely answer it in faith and obedience. And through our answer, we complete the plan of God and His work to be accomplished. We are called out of the world. Now, this doesn't mean that we live separate from the world. It's interesting, in John 17, Jesus prayed. He didn't pray that God would pull his apostles out of the world, but that God would protect them. We are no longer of the world. You see, being of the world means we live like the world does. We live in ungodliness and unrighteousness. But being not of the world means we live godly and righteously. Consider Ephesians 4. I'd like to read Ephesians 4 here, verses 17 through 24. Because Paul here writes about how we walk separate from the world. And sometimes I'm reminded of this passage when I see myself or I see other Christians blending into the world. Ephesians 4 and 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We are not of the world, and we need to live like that. And we're certainly not called out of the world to be conformed back to the world. You see, Israel was supposed to be separate from the world, but yet they wanted to be like all the other nations, even though they knew they were supposed to be separate. And again, when they failed to be separate, they could no longer be God's chosen people. See, the basic principles of the world are not according to Christ. They're according to the flesh. Just read Galatians chapter 5 and get a good contrast between the works of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. You see a large difference between fornication and idolatry and lying and evil speaking with love and joy and hope. Therefore, we cannot be of this world. We must be a holy people, a holy priesthood. Because you see, the works of the flesh destroy. They mar us. But the fruit of the Spirit saves. You see, walking in the Spirit is what gives us such a stark contrast to the world. So we're not supposed to love the things of the world. We're not supposed to seek after the basic principles of the world because we are God's special people. Just consider how these four words contrast the world with God's people. We're supposed to be holy because God is holy. We're to be a holy nation. We're supposed to be the called out, the church. We are to be called out. We're supposed to be separate, apart from the world. We're supposed to be a chosen generation, a favorite people of God. And it's vital we understand that this is God's working in us because we are purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You see, God's entire plan pointed to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament sacrifices, beginning with the very first sacrifice in the garden of the animal that was slain so that Adam and Eve could be clothed, to all the sacrifices of Abraham's and Job's day, to all the sacrifices under the law. Have you ever considered how ironic it is that the physical Lamb of God was killed on the preparation day before the high Sabbath? The Lamb of God was killed the very time when the Jews were supposed to be killing all the other animals for their Sabbath day meal. Jesus was killed on that day for a reason, because he is our Passover Lamb. And that is what purchased us out of the world. And it was with purpose that God did that. This is why we are called a purchased possession. We are an acquisition of God. You see, God's people are to be separated for a reason, so that we can be a light to those others in the world who are interested in what is right, to those of soft hearts that God has made. You see, God's calling of Abraham was God's plan to bring mankind back to the one true God. Because Jehovah was known as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But God didn't want to be known as just the God of a few people. He wanted to be known as the God of his chosen people. And Christ's sacrifice was the ultimate work of God to bring mankind back to him. And God has given us assurance of this by raising Jesus from the dead. This is why he had the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For this reason, Jesus is the light of the world. And we as God's people, if Jesus dwells in us, We also are to be a light in the world because the world is full of darkness and it seems like it's getting darker all the time. Well, how much more so will the light of Christ be bright in our lives? You see, we are God's tool, His chosen to be a light to those in darkness. We are indeed the world's Bible. And don't you know the world knows and we're not living our life the way the world knows we should live. Perhaps much of the world says, wow, I like this. Yeah, he's just like me. And no wonder they don't come to the Lord. But see, we're supposed to illuminate the truth in this dark world. We reveal sin by our lives. We reveal a way out of sin. And with all this in mind, we should live as God's chosen people. You know, it's interesting how we're created, how the gospel was created for us, and God created soft hearts just to receive the gospel of Christ. I like to draw the parallel. Have you ever considered preaching the gospel to a cow? You can sit there and preach to that cow all week, and that cow is never going to respond to that gospel because the cow's not made that way. But you contrast that with soft hearts, like Lydia. The Bible says the Lord opened her heart because she was looking for God. Like the Philippian jailer was looking for God. And the gospel was made for that purpose. And because of that, God's calling is so right for us. And it should be reflected in our lives. The way we live our lives should stand out. In this manner, we are a judgment to the world, not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved. The Bible says Jesus wasn't sent to condemn the world. Jesus was sent to save the world. And our purpose should be the same. We do this by reflecting God and His will within us. Because our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. I like the picture described in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn there just for a moment. No, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians. Oh, where is it? Second. Oh, my mind's a blank right now. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. That's it. Oh, that's right. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, this is what makes us God's chosen people. And again, we should live like that. Now, how can we know how God would live? We have Jesus. We have His example. The life of Jesus has been a mirror for us to observe and emulate. The song that Randy led, Holy, 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 Peter says, quote, be holy as I am holy. We have that life to follow. You see, when Christ's righteousness and holiness is reflected in our lives, we bear fruit. This is that fruit of the gospel that Paul was talking about in Colossians chapter 1. This is the fruit that Jesus is teaching about in John chapter 15. And it's really interesting there in John 15, the first few verses, when it's talking about His people there. Because He says if they don't bear fruit, they'll be cut off. But remember what it says He does for those who bear fruit? Well, He's not just content with that. He prunes them so that they will bear more and more fruit. And this fruit here is the result of our lives, which is the working of the gospel that is planted in our lives, in our hearts. You see, God's chosen people, we don't live of our own righteousness because our righteousness is like filthy rags. But we live of the righteousness of God. God's people, we live lives as we must be of God. This is what makes us His chosen people. This is why we need help. Because the way of man is naturally following the way of flesh. Choosing that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not the way we're supposed to live our lives. This is why we need instruction in righteousness. This is why we need instruction in the ways of God to be His people. You see, God's Word is what makes it possible for us to hear and accept His call. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 as I close here. This is one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Start with verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Word of God has been described as a mirror. When we first look into this gospel, As we're convicted, we don't like the picture that we see. We see a very ugly picture. We see sin. We see our sin. And we don't like that. But the more we look into this beautiful mirror, the more we see Jesus. And the more we apply it, the more it works in our lives as God's people. And so we are being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Because we are God's chosen people. Now, this is not an afterthought of God. God has always wanted a special people. We are God's called out. And as a result, we should live that way because we are not of the world. We may live in this world. We may have to function in this world, but we dare not be of this world because being of this world separates us from God. We're going to have an invitation song this morning. And if it's the one that I think Randy's going to lead, he may change his mind. But on 597, God calling yet. God continues to call for His special people. He continues to seek out souls with soft hearts because He's made the gospel purposefully to fit those soft hearts. Most of us here, hopefully, I'm convinced, meet that criteria because that's why we're here, because we have soft hearts. I hope we do. But perhaps there's someone here that is not yet a child of God. Perhaps you have a soft heart and you're just waiting for the gospel of Christ. Well, now you have the opportunity. God is calling for His people. The question is, will you listen to that call? Will you heed the purpose of your creation? Will you submit to your Creator and be one of His special people? God calling yet shall you not hear. Please let us serve you this morning if you heed the gospel of Christ. Come forward as we stand.